This is WFYI News Now. It's October 19th, and I'm Sarah Neil Estes. Each day, our local and statewide teams bring you the news you need to stay informed in Central Indiana. In this episode, we'll hear an investigation from our education team, including more perspective from this voice.
If I had a magic wand, I would suggest that a facility like that should not exist.
Why does an Indiana family keep going back to a school they say fails their son? That story in a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Former State Inspector General Cindy Carrasco will be Indiana's newest state senator. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports a Republican precinct caucus chose Carrasco Wednesday to replace Jack Sandlin, who died unexpectedly last month.
Carrasco has a long career of government service. She worked for 8 years in the Inspector General's office before becoming the first woman to serve in that role. She was Deputy General Counsel to Governor Eric Holcomb and also recently worked for the State House of Representatives as an attorney. She says those experiences will allow her to hit the ground running as a lawmaker.
To be able to focus on the issues, on developing the relationships that are necessary in order for me to be an effective legislator.
A former candidate for Marion County prosecutor, Carrasco says a key issue she'll focus on is public safety. Carrasco overwhelmingly defeated former State Representative John Jacob in the precinct caucus. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
Carrasco's district represents constituents in Marion and Johnson counties. West Lafayette leaders have now formed a group of citizens in opposition to the pipeline that would take water from Tippecanoe County down to the Lebanon Industrial District. Ben Thorpe reports the effort is part of a mounting opposition to regional water withdrawals.
So far this month, both the cities of Attica and West Lafayette have passed resolutions noting their opposition to the Indiana Economic Development Corporation's project. West Lafayette City Councilmember David Sanders was behind the city's resolution and is helping to create the group. He says his hope is that an organized opposition could dissuade corporations from coming to Lebanon at all.
The only purpose of the pipeline depends upon the recruitment of such companies, and I believe they're much more, less likely to come if there's an organized effort to oppose the pipeline.
Sanders says an initial meeting was well attended and brought residents together from across the political spectrum. I'm Ben Thorpe.
The Environmental Protection Agency announced its debris cleanup plan for the site of the massive Richmond fire that displaced more than 1,000 people. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Rebecca Thiel reports the fire at the former plastics recycling business sent harmful smoke and debris into the air.
EPA on-site coordinator Jeffrey Wozak says the agency will clean up material that caught on fire, as well as scrap metal and other debris on the property.
We're going to have to wet it down to make sure that we don't have any of the contaminants go into the air. The major contaminant of concern that we're looking at right now is the asbestos that was in the building.
The agency already removed debris that fell in people's yards from more than 300 properties in the area, including in Ohio. This latest cleanup is expected to cost $2.8 million. That money will come from federal taxes until the EPA can get reimbursed by the party responsible for the fire. Richmond residents have named the former owner of My Way Trading Company in a class action lawsuit, as well as the city, which currently owns part of the property. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
The cleanup is scheduled to start next month. This next story is a chapter from a WFYI investigation. The Cooper family has fought for more than a decade to get their son Christian a good education. Christian goes to a segregated school in Northwest Indiana that only serves students with disabilities. Many experts say those schools should not exist, but the Coopers feel stuck. From WFYI's education desk, Dylan Piers McCoy reports on why the family keeps going back to a school they say is failing their son.
When 15-year-old Christian Cooper walked in the front door of his rural Indiana house, he headed to the dining room to find his mom, Stephanie.
Hi, sir. Yes, I'm home. I know.
Christian has autism. He's an affectionate and happy teenager.
Hey.
He likes to play outside, to jump on the trampoline, to watch Elmo videos on YouTube.
He just had to check everybody out, see who's here.
When the Coopers enrolled Christian in the local schools, staff sent him to a facility for students with significant disabilities called SELF. It's a public school run by a special education system that's faced intense criticism from parents.
Porter County Education Services has failed our son from the very beginning.
That's Christian's dad, Joe Cooper.
And in reality, we probably failed him a little bit too, not advocating and pushing harder for him when he was younger.
The Coopers say that since preschool, the school has never given Christian the support he needs. Christian doesn't speak, so speech therapists work with him on sign language and using pictures to communicate. But he only gets 30 minutes of therapy a week. He can't button his own shirt or independently use a fork or pencil. But the school system ended the occupational therapy that could help with those skills.
He can't do everyday needs on his own. What that says to me is they just don't have the staff and they want to take him off their caseload.
Porter County Education Services says they don't cut occupational therapy for students based on staff shortages. They declined to answer questions about Christian's experience because of student privacy. The Coopers want something simple, a good education for their son. They don't care how the school system does it. But many experts say it's harmful to isolate children with disabilities away from the rest of the student population.
If I had a magic wand, I would suggest that a facility like that should not exist.
Martin Agrin is an emeritus professor of special education at the University of Wyoming.
You have a situation that is almost beyond repair.
These schools don't get much attention, but in Indiana, public districts send about 1,400 students to isolated facilities that only educate children with disabilities. Federal law requires schools to educate students alongside their peers without disabilities whenever possible. It's called inclusive education. Agrin says that when schools have inclusive classrooms, teachers must match their instruction to individual student needs. For example, if most students are learning state capitals.
For the student with a severe disability, it may not be appropriate at that time for her to learn what the capital of Indiana is, but it's very appropriate for her to learn where she lives.
The promise of inclusion is that students with disabilities get more rigorous academic instruction and they learn social skills and behavior from peers without disabilities. But inclusive education isn't an option for many families. Take the Coopers. Sitting at their dining room table last year, Stephanie Cooper recalled years of problems with Christian's segregated school. Like the moment more than a decade ago when she toured his preschool.
Well, he walked in the classroom and took me immediately to the restraint chair. Like, this is where I sit.
The small chair with an attached desk held Christian in the seat.
And I will never forget it. Like, as a parent, after that, it was over for me. He's not learning anything. He learns that I sit in this chair, and then they give me all this stuff that I don't understand.
Porter County Education Services says they now prohibit the use of restraint chairs. The Coopers have withdrawn Christian from self twice. Both times, they sent him to autism therapy instead. That's where Christian was spending his days when I visited the family last year. But when I called Joe Cooper last month, a lot had changed.
So basically, Christian aged out of that particular program.
So his parents decided to send him back to self yet again.
We don't have a whole lot of other options to try and get him some services, try and get something for him.
But Joe Cooper was afraid. So he made an unusual decision. He took leave from his job as a heavy equipment operator to work as a special education teaching aide at self. It pays less than half the hourly wage he made before, but he's in the building if his son needs him.
I think a lot of parents would do exactly what I did, but I don't think a lot of parents would be in a position to do what I did.
In a special education system that Cooper sees as broken, it felt like the best way to help Christian. Cooper is still on leave from his job as a heavy equipment operator. He's not sure what he'll do next. Dylan Pierce McCoy, WFYI News.
You can find more information from that investigation at WFYI.org/news. That's all for this episode of WFYI News Now. This podcast is reported by our Central Indiana, statewide, and regional news teams, so you can have news on demand when you need it and is produced by the following people who live here: Abriana Heron, Kendall Antron, Darian Benson, and me, Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share, and find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your communities.